little bit of news here, gentlemen. A response from the NFL in regards to Browns rookie Mike Hall Jr.'s no contest plea today. Quote, we have been closely monitoring all developments in the matter, which remain under the review of the personal conduct policy. There is no change in his status.
Okay, which means what?
I'm assuming he's got to talk to the commissioner, and then we'll hear how many games he's suspended for. So, and I don't know if it's retro or if it's all moving forward or how that's going to play out. So they've got to talk to the commissioner's office about getting him off that list.
So he'll be missing at least his third game this week, and then maybe when they decide something, it's an additional suspension and not just games already missed.
Right. Can remind me to ask Darryl this. Is he allowed to be? He's not allowed to practice either, is he? I don't think so. I'll ask him. Because you got to wonder if he's not practicing, you got to get him back up to speed, right? And so, I mean, that could cost you a little time too.
This is a tough situation for Mike Hall, certainly. Not good, as we all know. It's not the first time that we've seen this with a player that the Browns brought in.
No.
And Kareem Hunt is a perfect example of that. And Kareem back on track now. He came back to the Browns after being released by the Kansas City Chiefs when Kareem had his issues legally. And then came to the Browns, did a very nice job in Cleveland, and they signed him last year after Nick Chubb got hurt. He was out of work. Chiefs brought him in now when Isaiah Pacheco gets hurt.
So to answer your question, Andy,
yeah.
Players are permitted to attend meetings, workouts, and receive treatment at the team facility. They are not allowed to play football, and they are being compensated if they are on the commissioner's exempt list.
So that also, you got to take that in consideration, the compensation issue. So it's how many games unpaid. So as you look retro on that, you got to think that into the equation about a return date for him.
Kareem now back with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was signed to their practice squad this week. And there's some rumblings that he might even be ready to go this week. We'll see.
Be awesome if he is.
Apparently, he and Patrick Mahomes have remained good buds.
Sure, cool.
Kareem went to Patrick's wedding. They are in contact back and forth, over the years. So that's a good thing. Andy Reid, at his press conference yesterday, had some comments that I thought were really interesting. And he said, and I'll just read Andy's quote for you here. What we told him and said publicly in 2018, we just thought he needed a change of scenery and to get some help, take care of business there. And we felt like he did that. He did a real nice job in Cleveland. We talked to the people there, and there were no issues. So we felt okay bringing him back. He's 29 years old now. Time flies, but he's 29 years old. Looks like he's grown up some.
Yeah, I didn't think he didn't have a choice. He had to grow up. And we watched him grow up here while he was here too. So I hope he takes advantage of this opportunity. I hope he gets the advantage, at least the opportunity, I should say, while he's there. Who knows where he'll sit on their list of running backs on the depth chart. But, I'm rooting for him. As long as he's not
absolutely
playing against the Browns, I'm rooting for him.
Absolutely. Apparently the Chiefs called around, made sure things were fine. He said Cleveland's general manager spoke highly of him, coaches, and so on. So we felt good about it. I think people deserve a second chance if they've done something to work on the first part of it, is what Andy said. I think we meant what we said. You need to take care of this. This isn't good as you go through life for anybody. So it seems like he has a grasp on that.
Yeah, I'm just looking back at his number. I mean, his numbers have been consistent until last year. He came in late. He was pretty much near 4 yards a carry his entire career until last year, where he was three. So,
He's going to forever wonder, what would my career have been had I been the main man in Kansas City for the entire time? Because in theory, Andy, he could have been the main man in Kansas City until even right now.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he never, if he didn't have the off-the-field issue, he might have been their starter, and he could have had numerous Super Bowl rings.
You know what's weird? His numbers were down, but his best years, last year was his best year.
Best touchdown year.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Yeah. He had nine touchdowns last year. That's the best he had since his rookie season where he had eight 2017.
He became clearly the goal line back, you know?
Yeah.
And
nothing wrong with that. That'll get you paid.
And that was a good thing. I wish him luck. I know people here, and I get this. We love our local guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no question. We love our local guys. And we want them to succeed. I think Kareem can still play. And I'm guessing he'll show that he can still play in Kansas City. I don't think he can still play at the same level that he did in Kansas City or that he did early when he was here with the Browns. I hope he proves me wrong on that. That'd be great. But our fan base here has an affection for him that I think is valid. Reed said a couple more things about him, Andy, as far as being a 29-year-old and all that. But this is interesting. He said Kareem had sports hernia surgery. So I think that was affected a little bit by that. But just coming back off that, I saw the burst, the toughness when he got back in there. And we worked him out here, felt good about it. But we'll see. He said he's getting up there for running backs. He's 29 years old. For a running back, that's old.
But he's not 30. He's 30 yet.
He's not 30.
So if Hunt and Kelsey score, is that the East Side offense? Is that what they're going to call it?
Yeah. Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kev.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We are good. We are very good.
Yeah, beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio. Hey, I want to talk about the coaching staff and the penalties. I know you mentioned earlier, Andy, and I just want to also kind of emphasize, you guys know I'm a numbers guy. I love numbers, and
right.
I'm going to throw some of these out there. Our Browns are 24 penalties so far to start the season. We are by far the most penalized team in the entire NFL. The closest behind us is Steelers at 19.
That's because they're picking on us. The refs don't like us. It's us.
Yeah.
It's on us.
Well, at this rate, we are going to crush the 163 penalty rate set by the 2011 Raiders. We are going to demolish it by a wide margin. The reason I just makes my blood boil, I got a buddy who works with the Chargers, and I talked to him last week, and he's like, you know, the NFL, no names. The NFL sent a thing out to all the teams preseason that they were going to emphasize illegal motion, pre-snap penalties, and they even put all the teams on notice of this. So, and here's why I'm saying that: of our 24 penalties, the vast majority, 14 of them, were all pre-snap penalties. So, our team, our coaching staff, was given the memo by the NFL, as all teams were. Hey, illegal formation penalties are going to be what we're going to stress this year. You know, you guys have to stop. They're going to stress it. They can't be in that light trot. And tackles can't be, a step and a half behind the guard. They're calling it all over the NFL. And clearly, our coaching staff, in my opinion, has done a very poor job of communicating that to our team by the level of penalties, specifically how many pre-snap penalties we have. And there's no excuse for this in my mind, right? This is a coaching issue. They should have been stressed. Preseason should have been stressed during training camp. This is what's going to get called. We can't do this anymore, period, end of story. And the fact that we keep being flagged for it, to me as a fan, is so frustrating, because I point to the coaching staff on this. I mean, I'll ask you guys this. Who could you point to other than the coaching staff when you know that you were already put on notice on this stuff, right?
Kevin, I don't think there's anybody to point to other than the coaching staff. You could say the players, except they have to be coached up in that situation, right?
Yeah, that is,
so it has to be.
It's coaching 101 right there, right?
Sure.
Pre-snap penalties, before there's actual play.
Right. And if the NFL puts you on notice, we're going to do this. It's inexcusable in my mind. I mean, you're giving drives away by this stuff. I mean, when you're starting at 1st and 15, and sometimes we get flagged twice, 1st and 20, I mean, you're digging your own hole. It's very hard to get a successful drive going when instead of 1st and 10, you're looking at 1st and 15 and 20. And it's very frustrating as a fan watching this happen with something that's just coachable. I mean, it's avoidable.
Kevin, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kev.
It's been an issue. Will it be an issue tomorrow or Sunday? Excuse me. Better not be an issue tomorrow. you're committing a lot of penalties if you're getting penalized on Friday.
Yeah, how are we going to? It's going to be hard to do our show and the pregame show.
Dan's nodding his head. Yeah, that's probably true. Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. We'll talk penalties and other things coming up next.